Francis Thompson was a man who lived through a severe identity crisis. Although he really never had the slightest intention of ever becoming a doctor, nevertheless, he spent 6 years of his life preparing for a career in medicine. He did it simply to please his father. But after 6 years, he could not stand it any longer. He dropped out of medical school, and he sold encyclopedias for a while, and then he worked as a clerk in a retail store. Then finally, he joined the army, but was discharged because he was simply physically unable to live as a soldier. And then he began wandering around as a kind of a vagrant. But then he contracted a TB, and at the age of 48, he died. But just a few years before he died, he finally discovered his true identity. It was to be a writer. He discovered that late in life that he had a gift deep down within him, and only slowly did he become aware. And then he began to share that gift with others. And during that time, he wrote a poem that has been acclaimed as the greatest ode or lyric poem in the English language today. It is called The Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven. And the poem is really a direct commentary on the 139th Psalm. And the psalm and the poem, both together, create the story of the relationship that Francis Thompson had with God during his entire lifespan. That poem is a story of how the living God has been chasing after him all through the years that he spent knocking around. He discovered that he was always running away from God. But he also discovered that God was in a constant kind of hot pursuit. The hound of heaven continually padding after him, relentlessly, lovingly, so that at one point in the poem, Francis Thompson hauntingly refers to God in his life as the God who constantly pursued him as this tremendous lover. And that only when he turned around and allowed himself to be caught by this tremendous lover was he finally able to find a way of living that was fulfilling and had meaning. This tremendous lover. We should allow that phrase to haunt us, to allow it to remind us that whatever we might ever think about God or say about God, especially when we are depressed, that Jesus today is telling us that our loving God, our Father, is constantly and always a tremendous lover, that this really is who God is, that all through our life, this God will always pursue each one of us, sometimes gently, sometimes firmly, but all of the time lovingly. And that's how Francis Thompson wrote the poem, I fled him down the nights and down the days, I fled him down the arches of the years, and I fled him down the labyrinthian ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter. Today, bookstores and magazines are crammed with information on living well, how to eat, how to sleep, how to make money, how to make love. But there's no meaning, ultimately, in any one of these things until we have finally allowed ourselves to be caught by the hound of heaven, until we have allowed that power of this tremendous lover to make sense out of our eating and sleeping and making money and making love and all the other things that we do in our life. And it is simply not enough to believe this intellectually. It is knowing with our whole being that is so essential. When we come to know God as this tremendous lover in our life, then and only then do we become more and more eager, finally, to be with Him. We become more aware of what Jesus means in today's gospel when He says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. In the same way as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's why Jesus so often in his lifetime withdrew by himself, either out onto the lake, or up into the mountain, or out into the wilderness. Times of prayer, meditation, reflection. That's what he was looking for. He did it partly because he needed it, but also because he wanted it. He was so eager after the work he did with people to discover the kind of calm and peace that he would always find whenever he had this opportunity to be with the tremendous lover, the Father. Now, in recent years, again, there are so many books published on prayer and meditation. People everywhere are talking about the need that they have in their lives for some quiet time, reflection time, meditation. And as a result, more and more people are embarking on that inward journey to the very center of themselves, and then they write about the experience, which is good. But unfortunately, so often that experience, when written about, comes off as some kind of a heavy, burdensome exercise that they apparently went through, a discipline that is really not good news. People sometimes today seem to have to struggle with prayer and meditation, as if it were some kind of stringent diet. In other words, when they finally read about it, they end up analyzing it, intellectualizing it. And yet we know that for centuries, our rich tradition of prayer in the church has always been what prayer is ultimately all about, is just being with God. Simply being with God. Not telling God what we want. Not telling God what to do. Not telling God how to get through to us. But just being with Him. That's prayer. The heart of the matter is that at the very deepest level of our spirit, at the very center of our soul, as it were, if you will, is the level at which God's Spirit makes direct contact with us. So that when we pray, it is always the Father drawing us attracting us. It is always the Father who takes the initiative. When we pray, it means that we are making direct contact with God at this very deepest level of our heart, of our spirit. That spirit, then, and our spirit enter into union. They become one. They always are. But at that moment, when we pray, and during the time we pray especially, we become deeply aware of the unity between the Spirit of the living God and our spirit. That within us, the Spirit of God is always a spring of living water, always providing eternal life. Now, in that way, we begin to understand that the Spirit of the living God is always as close to us as we are to ourselves. The goal of prayer, then, is not to contact a missing God who's somewhere else, but rather to allow God, who is always present within us, to enter into our consciousness, our heart, our mind. The living God always knows us as we are. Our secret drives, the backyards of our souls. In that way, we discover that prayer allows us to meet the God who is always alive within us in an intimate, dynamic, active way. That our God is not a cold, aloof, distant God somewhere up in the sky or in the heavens. Our living God in spirit, in a mysterious, intimate way, is always dwelling within us. It means that our God always does hear our prayer, does weep and suffer with us, and that our God does change as a result of our prayer. Our God is not unchangeable. Our God changes with us, always pursuing us. I fled him down the nights and down the days, and I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthian ways of my own mind, and in the midst of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter.
We invite all of you to sing Prayer of St. Francis.